Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hey, guys. I am not Chuck, and I'm certainly not Julie. I am Mark, and I'm the guest host for the Chuck and Julie Show. I want to thank them. My name is Mark Griffith. You can contact me by email at mark@markgriffithshow.com. I currently do not have my own show, but I did at one time on KLZ. mark@markgriffithshow.com. If you want to connect to the show by phone, 888-627-6008. If you want to connect to the show by Zoom, the room number is 209-576-423. Love to take callers. I can talk about anything intelligently, or at least make you think I know what I'm talking about. Just a good humorous start on the show. So when all this pandemic started happening, there's a business out in Maryland outside the Beltway called Books by the Foot. And this lady's business has been booming during the pandemic. And that's because all the people who used to do their opining in the studios of CNN or Fox or MSNBC or whatever, they were now doing them at home. And they wanted to look smart and intelligent. So they would go and order books by the foot. They'd figure out how many feet of bookshelf they had behind them, and then they would do that. So they didn't really read those books, but they wanted to look smart. But my books, as you can see, are kind of ramshackle, and I've got more over there, and I've read most of them. I don't buy them by the foot. I buy them and make myself poor. But when I had my own radio show, I really loved it because all I had to do was email a publisher and say, hey, I want to have your author on the show. And they'd send me a free book. So I got a year and a half worth of free books. Again, the phone number, 888-627-6008. This is the Chuck and Julie Show, but I'm sitting in for Chuck and Julie. They are in Atlanta for a wedding, as I understand it. Now, I'm just going to talk about masks for like 30 seconds. I'm just going to tell you, they're going to want you to wear these masks for the rest of your lives. Unfortunately, there are way too many Americans that are perfectly willing to do that. When I go into an establishment, I've had the COVID, I beat the COVID, so I can't give the COVID to anyone because I'm better than a vaccine. I'm inoculated, okay? When I go into an establishment, I got thrown out of the Costco in Lone Tree a couple of months back. As I'm being escorted out, I try to engage politely but firmly with whoever's throwing me out. And I ask them, you know, are you aware that, you know, masks are not required in Florida or South Dakota, and they have way lower COVID rates and death rates than places like New York and California that require masks and have lockdowns. There's just no science behind it, folks. If you want to read a good guy, look up Alex Berenson. If you watch Tucker Carlson, you know, he's a regular on there. He's done yeoman's work on this. And most of the stuff that they have required from us, whether it's masks or social distancing, they've pulled out of their rear ends. They just, it's no science. I had the director of the Tri-County Health Department on my show in March of 2020. And I had all the research. I had CDC stuff. And I sat there and asked him, I said, where's the research that backs up social distancing and masks? Well, it's at the CDC website. So I read to him from the CDC website that it was all conjecture. And he was just speechless. He didn't have anything to say. So we moved on. I didn't want to beat a dead horse. But when I am being escorted out of these establishments, and I haven't been thrown out of very many places because Parker's pretty chill, not always, but I ask him, so how long are you willing to wear that thing? And they always give me almost the same answer, as long as they tell me to. And then I say, well, what if they tell you the rest of your life? I'm good with that if it keeps me safe. That's not a good portend for the rest of our, for our future of our country, which I'm going to talk about today. But before I do, I want to give you guys some good advice that my good friend Todd Hageman He is a very talented construction contractor who remodeled my house in 2015. And he's going to be helping me do a couple of bathrooms here this summer. But he gave me some great advice I didn't even know about. If you download, I always avoided downloading the King Supers app or the Safeway app because I just don't want them knowing about me. But if you download the app, you'll get a notification every month or so. They'll have quintuple points, gas points on gift cards. Well, since I'm going to be spending several thousand dollars at Home Depot and Lowe's in the coming months on my remodels, my friend Todd said, go down to King Supers when you get your notification of quintuple points and buy hundreds of dollars worth of gift cards. And now I'm not going to be paying for gas for a while. I'm going to be paying like a dollar a gallon while all of you guys are paying Biden's three plus a gallon. You know, thank goodness for Biden. He caused gas prices to go up. So anyway, I just thought I'd give that special little consumer tip so we get that out of the way. And if you want a really good contractor to help you remodel or build something, Todd Hageman, you could do way worse. You could do no better. He's with Cornerstone Consulting is the name of his company. All right. Now, we're going to talk about what causes a civilization to crumble today. And they have three aligning characteristics or attributes. And this is true since the Persian, well, before them. If you remember in the Bible, the children of Israel were told to go into the land of Canaan and kill every man, woman, and child, every goat, pig, and cow, all of it, for all those nations of ites, the Hittites and the Jebusites, I don't know, but they all ended in ite. And people sometimes say, well, that's kind of against God's character to kill men and women and children and all that. The reason that God justified it in that very narrow case, unlike Islam, which justifies it all the time, is because those nations practice human sacrifice or infant sacrifice. And God wanted to eliminate that practice from the face of the earth. And that's how he brought the Ten Commandments to the Israelites and monotheism. Dennis Prager talks a lot about that. Well, anyway, since the beginning of human civilization, great civilizations have always crumbled within from three things. They all have three things in common. They have human or baby sacrifice. The Aztecs are a good example. The Persians, the Assyrians before them, the Babylonians before them, the Greeks, and then the Romans, and now us. Of course, we have abortion. We don't call it human sacrifice or infant, but it is. It is. The second characteristic they have in common is sexual perversion. And I don't mean just a little bit of sexual perversion, people cheating on their wives or homosexuals doing their thing. It's the celebration of sexual license. I mean, in the span of human history, in the last 5 minutes, we've gone from we want to tolerate gays coming out of the closet to I'm a woman and I want to race against women in sports, you know, in a flash of an eye, just create wink of an eye, blink of an eye. Anyway, that's not good. God doesn't approve of that. And even if you don't believe in God, the evidence is pretty clear that when you have human or baby sacrifice, and then you have infant sacrifice, and then you have all kinds of sexual perversions, our birth rate is way below replacement level. Most of Western Europe and all of Southern Europe, Italy, Spain, Portugal, Greece, their birth rates are down like 1.2. In Russia, it's about 1.1, which means we've never seen this in human history. It's never happened in human history. So we don't know if you can come back from it, but I don't think we can. Okay, now the way we've been able to replace our population is, you guessed it, immigration. But you can only have so much immigration before you change the culture. We're seeing that now. The Romans is a perfect example. You had the Roman Republic prior to the time of Christ, and then you had the Roman Empire right around the time of Christ up until about 200 BC. And about 200 BC is when they got fat and happy. They had won all their big wars and all their big battles. And we're going to talk about war in this book I just read called Last Stands, Why Men Fight When All Is Lost, by Michael Walsh. It's one of the best books I've read ever. It was a great book. But, excuse me. But around 200 BC, the Romans, and I'm not a classicist. I'd love to be, but I read about too much other stuff. But around 200 BC, the Romans began to, see if this sounds familiar, import labor for all their menial tasks, for all their taking their potty stuff out in the sewer and digging their ditches and building their waterways, the aqueducts. Even their military was manned primarily by foreign slaves. And obviously, in that time, you could have some subset of your military be slaves, but there's a critical mass point where if you have too many of your military is foreigners and slaves and people who are not really Roman, what's going to happen? It's going to crumble. So that's what happened. 3rd century BC till about 5th century BC, I mean AD, 3rd century to 5th century, Rome became a shell of itself. All its institutions became corrupted. See if that sounds familiar. And there's really been no time in history where a civilization has pulled back from the brink of collapse when it's gone this way. And there's a third attribute I want to talk about. The third attribute is what I want to call, and what somebody else has called, anarcho-tyranny. And anarcho-tyranny, I'm going to read you the definition. Anarcho-tyranny was a term coined by the late political commentator Sam Francis. And I found this at Zero Hedge. Zero Hedge is a website I turn to daily for mostly investment advice, but they also talk about culture and stuff like that. But here's what he said. The condition, this is anarcho-tyranny. The condition, this condition, which in some of my columns I have called anarcho-tyranny, is essentially a kind of Hegelian synthesis of what appear to be dialectical opposites. The combination of oppressive government power against the innocent and the law-abiding, and simultaneously a grotesque paralysis of the ability or the will to use that same power to carry out basic public duties, such as protection or public safety. And it is characteristic of anarcho-terrorism, tyranny, that not only fails to punish criminals and enforce legitimate order, but also criminalizes the innocent. If that doesn't describe the present moment that America is in, I don't know what else would. I mean, good example is we saw all the riots that happened this summer. Minneapolis, Seattle, Portland, wherever, Denver. As far as I know, Denver's downtown. I haven't been down there, not going to go down there. Too dangerous. Don't want to get caught in a protest, and then I got to run somebody over, and then I'll get arrested and charged with murder because it's corrupt. They're going to look at your politics to decide how they're going to prosecute you, because they look the other way when all these BLM and Antifa riots were happening all summer. Nobody went to jail. In fact, sometimes they were awarded. They got bailed out by people like Kamala Harris. But yet we had this insurrection at the Capitol, which was nothing more than a bunch of, it was, first of all, it was a false flag operation. It was pre-planned. Antifa and BLM people, we have proof. I have proof. I don't have time in an hour to tell you all the stuff I have on it, but I'd be glad to email you some links, mark@markgriffithshow.com. But this is the Chuck and Julie Show. But now they're trying to throw the book at these people that stayed within the velvet rope lines. The violence was caused by people who were not Trump supporters. Don't let people gaslight you. If you go back and look at videos of that, you can see little old ladies and couples in their 50s and 60s and 70s literally staying between the velvet ropes in the Capitol and looking at the art, the statues, and marveling at stuff. Sure, were there a couple of kooks like the guy in the bison head or whatever? Yeah, there's 330 million people. You're going to have kooks. Okay, but they're trying to literally throw the book. They've got people in jail since January 8th, held without bail in Washington, D.C., for trial on misdemeanors, trespassing accounts. Folks, they have completely politicized our prosecution system, our justice system. When that happens, it's over. Okay? Infant sacrifice, you got sexual perversions going crazy, you got You've got a mixing of the sexes. Men and women are the same. No, they're not. And then you reward criminality and evil, and you punish the good. This is not going to end well. Now, a good friend of mine, his name is Steve Traeger. He lives out in the Ozarks now. He used to be a chiropractor in the tech center. He sent me this article just before showtime, and I thought, man, that's perfect. It's called America at the End of Empire. By the way, if you want to call the show, 888-627-6008. If you want to join the show on Zoom, the room number is 209-576-423. All right? I'd love to take calls. I'd love to have some interaction. But if you want to just hear me ramble and rant for an hour, I can do that too. All right. So the article was in, let's see, Front Page Mag, another good website, frontpagemag.com. America at the End of Empire. Is civilizational decline reversible? Now, this guy says at the end, he thinks it is because we saw signs of it when Donald Trump was in office. I don't think so. I think what we saw was proof that when someone attempts it, they're going to be put down like a rabid dog. That's what they did to Donald Trump and his supporters. And it's going to get worse. They're going to, I'm telling you, folks, when they don't get the result they want out of this Darren Chauvin murder trial, they've way overcharged this Minneapolis police officer in the death of George Floyd. So if justice is done, and that's a huge if, because imagine if you're on that jury and you know there's no way they're going to be able to protect your privacy. You know that the news media, they're already trying to identify these people, even though they're working very hard to keep them anonymous. Would you be willing to say not guilty, knowing they're going to come to your house and burn your house down? They might threaten your children or your parents, or you'd lose your job. Your employer says, man, you're just too big a risk. Don't come to work. Those people are under enormous pressure to give a guilty verdict to something he's not guilty of. But if justice is done and they return a not guilty verdict, which I believe he is not guilty, he was following police procedure. That man died of a fentanyl overdose. My wife is a recovery room nurse. I know exactly what fentanyl does. Fentanyl depresses your ability to breathe. Now, it also makes you numb so they can do surgery on you. It puts you to sleep. But one of the things that they have to be careful of, anesthesiologists have to be careful of, is that you don't stop breathing. That's why in people who have really bad surgeries that maybe they get too much drugs in them, or maybe they're a regular pot smoker and they don't tell the nurse that, and they get their drugs and they pass out. They have to intubate them. They have to be able to breathe for them. That's what happened to George Floyd. He was crying and couldn't breathe long before they ever put the knee on his neck. Anyway, when they return a not guilty verdict, what do you think is going to happen? It's going to make like last summer look like a Sunday school picnic. This place is going to blow up. You live in a blue city, you got a business in blue city, I'd figure out a way to get out of there, because property values in our cities are going to tumble, crash. Now, they're going to go up in other places, suburbs, the country, so on. I'm trying to get out of Dodge myself, but I got to talk my wife into it. Anyway, America at the End of Empire. And I'm going to read you a couple of quotes. This is Bill Maher, of all people. Bill Maher is one of those late night talk show hosts who occasionally, like a blind squirrel, he finds the nut. Occasionally he gets things right. He's not silly. He plays silly, but he can think clearly occasionally. Unlike the other guys, they're just idiots. They're just uninformed. You're not going to win the battle for the 21st century if you are a silly people. And Americans are a silly people. And he makes a great point, talking about the Dr. Seuss nonsense, where they banned the Dr. Seuss institution, the people who published the books, self-banned 6 Dr. Seuss's books. I love Dr. Seuss, Green Eggs and Ham. I'm not a big fan of Jesse Jackson, but the time he read Green Eggs and Ham on Saturday Night Live, that was entertainment. Anyway, Bill Maher says, do you know who doesn't care that there's a stereotype of a Chinese man in a Dr. Seuss book? China. All 1.4 billion of them couldn't give a clout a crouching tiger flying, you know what, because they're not a silly people. If anything, they're serious as a prison fight. And I agree with that. The reason that the left is so wound up and sensitive about things that really don't matter is because we've taken care of all the major injustices. There's no systemic racism in this country. The worst thing you can be is a racist. Nobody wants to be a racist. Everybody walks around saying half the country's racist. Where are they? You're not a racist because you vote for Donald Trump. 888-627-6008. I love to take people who disagree. Although, if you do disagree with me, it means you're wrong. Okay. You can reach me by email at mark@markgriffithshow.com. All right, here's another thing out of this article from frontpagemag.com, America at the End of Empire. The problem is civilizational fatigue, a concept that at some point a grand world power, ancient Rome, 19th century England, America under a desiccated and dementia-addled Joe Biden, peaks and then implodes. And as Hemingway put it about his own personal bankruptcy, it happens gradually and then all at once. I think we're on the precipice of all at once. We're going to reach a point where something happened, whether it's war with China or Russia invading Ukraine or Estonia, and we're not going to respond appropriately. Or it could be the George Floyd situation or any number of other things. But it's going to be rough. That's all I got to say. In our case, barbarians, and this is no longer or Bill Maher talking. This is the author of the article. And the author was Mark Tapson. In our case, the barbarians, i.e. the forces of anti-civilization, have been inside the gates for over half a century, making their long march through the institutions. And these are the Marxists. Which leads me to another book that I'm now reading, which I'm finding really, really good. It's called The Devil and Karl Marx. I'm 60 years old. And when I was a young man growing up in the 60s and 70s, we talked about, in my Southern Baptist church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, we would talk about the godless communists. And I always thought it was kind of funny, but they were godless. I mean, they were. But in reading this book by Paul Kanger, The Devil and Karl Marx, it turns out Karl Marx was a Satanist. He wrote love poems to Satan. He was demented. And some of his contemporaries, his parents, his brother, family members, friends, thought that he was possibly even possessed. He was a very evil man. It's one thing to be an atheist. It's another entirely to worship Satan. Okay? So if you're into that sort of thing, and I am, I'm enjoying reading The Devil and Karl Marx. But one of the things that progressives have to do when they take a country over is eliminate two things, two institutions. Can anyone guess what those two institutions are? They are the nuclear family and they are the church or religion, if you will. Because those two institutions give people meaning, okay? And my wife, who must have forgotten that I'm doing a show today, is calling me on her way home from work. So bless her heart, I'm not going to answer the call. But anyway, the church and the family, they give people meaning. They give us something outside of ourselves to believe in, to be a part of. Well, the Soviets, the Chinese, the Cubans, Venezuela, the first thing they do is attack the church and attack the family. They encourage people to turn on their family members. They encourage kids to, some of the people who were heroes of the motherland, I think is what they called it in Soviet Union, were children who ratted out their parents. Parents had kept a little bit of their wheat that they should have given to the state or whatever. These people were idolized. That's what we're seeing now. And COVID and the lockdown has been a great kind of a preparatory thing. It was kind of a trial run for a totalitarian state, because what have we seen? We've seen the government encouraging Karens and Carls, no offense to the people with those names, to rat on their neighbors. We've seen kids who have been encouraged to tell on their parents who aren't masking or aren't following protocol or who aren't self-quarantining. We've seen all kinds of instances of it. And folks, in every culture, in every society, in every family, unfortunately, nearly every family, there are people who are hardwired to really enjoy that role. They're rats, okay? They're snitches. It gives them a sense. They're people who really are usually pretty they're losers. They don't have a lot going on, but it gives them a sense of importance. I can tell on my neighbor. He's outside in the yard without a mask on or whatever. And if you're wearing a mask outside, God love you. Please don't do that. There's no need. I mean, if you're so weak and you're so, I don't mean weak in the head, but there is that too. But if you've got so many comorbidities that you feel like you need to wear a mask when you're outside by yourself, you probably shouldn't be outside at all. I mean, I get people tell me in the King Supers, you got to put a mask on. I'm like, well, if you're that scared, what are you doing out? Just go hire the company that you can just order your stuff on your phone and they'll deliver it to your front door. Personally, I love going to King Supers by myself because I like to look through the manager special bin and get that cheap bacon and maybe some cheap steaks. Still good stuff, just inexpensive. All right, so anyway, I think America's in decline. Not sure there's a lot we can do to stop it. One of the things that really scares me is this anarcho-tyranny. It's the misapplication on purpose of justice and of the prosecutorial powers of the state. The state has two life and death powers that no one else has. They have a monopoly on the use of force, both in military means with external powers, and they have the monopoly on the use of force against their citizens in the form of prosecution and putting you in jail or even taking your life or livelihood away. All right. Back in this other article I had, there was something I wanted to. So just let me run down a few examples. So let's see. Here we go. I don't know who said this. This is just a Twitter tweet. A state is responsible for the crimes of its citizens as much as a man is responsible for the acts of his children or his dog. He may not be guilty of biting, but he's guilty of omission. A state, by definition, can control its citizens. It is guilty when it omits to do so. So when we see the state letting people run wild and attack people in the street that are Trump supporters, or attack people who want to have a Back the Blue rally, like in August down in Denver, when they refuse to enforce the law against those people, they're effectively letting the criminals have the power of the state. Think about that. That's where we're at. It's not a good place to be at, okay? I'm going to give you another example. Hopefully, it won't be too depressing today, but it's an article by Glenn Harlan Reynolds. Now, Glenn Reynolds is a law professor at University of Tennessee. He runs a blog that I really enjoy, and I encourage you to take a look at it. It's called Instapundit, so pundit and then Insta. Instapundit, it's part of PJ Media Empire, and he links to just all sorts of stuff, eclectic stuff, really intelligent stuff, book reviews, art reviews, funny tweets, just whatever. He wrote an article today. It was in the New York Post titled, "The FBI is very good at woke politics, not so good at catching killers. And he lists a whole bunch of, he starts with the Boulder killer. I'm not going to say the guy's name. He's got a Muslim name. We know the story. He was on the FBI's radar. His family and friends said he was mentally ill. He was violent. He was antisocial. And the FBI knew about him. They were monitoring him because of his ties to another Muslim. Didn't do a thing about it. 10 people are dead. Okay. And they're going to blame guns. Okay. Here's another example. Major Nadal Hassan, Fort Hood. What was it? How many people died? 32, I think. I don't remember. But just think about how many families' lives are just destroyed because they were afraid of being called a racist. And yet we're the most racist country in the world. The Sinoff brothers, they knew about the Sinoff brothers. Let me tell you a story about Robert Mueller. I did a whole show on Robert Mueller's career. The guy is the most corrupt. He's tied for the most corrupt because there's so many of them. But Robert Mueller has essentially been the intelligence community's fixer for 35 years. His first job to fix something was in 1987 with the Lockerbie Pan Am flight over Lockerbie, Scotland. It was a flight from Tripoli, Libya, to, I believe it was going to go to Iceland and then go on to America, New York City. What had happened was, is that the CIA was involved in some shenanigans that was unconstitutional in North Africa. They were running guns and supporting drug activity, and just, it was just a mess. And the CIA has been doing this stuff for a long time. It has nothing to do with politics necessarily. They're just corrupt. Well, a new hire, I don't know if he was a CIA officer or somebody else, a military guy, but he basically stumbled on all the facts, and he was flying back to the United States, and he was going to spill the beans. He was going to testify. So he was on that flight. The flight blew up. I'll let you draw your own conclusions. They pinned it on a guy, some Libyan guy that worked at the airport or something. He was sentenced to 20 years in prison for killing 200 and something people. So take that into advisement. And he got out after like 4 or 5 years because he had he was terminally ill with cancer. Well, that was 28, 30 years ago, and he's still alive, folks. He ain't terminally ill. Robert Mueller was sent over there to fix everything. And he did. He covered it all up. He, in the guise of investigation, Robert Mueller has gone and investigated a lot of stuff. Robert Mueller was running the FBI when Randy Weaver happened. Remember that? Montana or Idaho. They killed his wife and a child. A young boy. Back to the Boston bombers, the Boston Marathon bombers. Robert Mueller was, I believe, director of the FBI at the time, and the local agents at the Boston office of the FBI, as soon as that happened, they knew where to look. They knew the problem was in the mosques. There were some mosques in Cambridge and some surrounding communities that were in just hotbeds of Islamic radicalism. So they immediately started investigating that and getting their tips and their informants. Guess what? The brass from Washington, D.C., this is unheard of. They always handle investigations at the field level office. They don't want the headquarters getting involved. They want to keep politics out of it. But for that one, Robert Mueller came from Washington, D.C. and sat down with all the locals and said, we're not going to do the radical Islam angle. And they're like, well, that's where the action is. That's where the guilt is. Nope, we're looking for white nationalists who don't want to pay their taxes. Do you guys remember that BS? And that led to the death of a campus police officer, because they would have had those guys in custody within about, a lot of people think within 12 hours. But instead, they were on the loose for over 36 hours, during which time they murdered a campus police officer at a community college outside of Boston. A dad, a son, a father, a husband, you know? Because they didn't want it to look to any Islam. Well, of course, in the end, we know what happened. One of the brothers got killed when the younger brother ran over him. Now the younger brother is suing. He's got a lawsuit before the Justice Department every 10 minutes. I believe he's down here in Florence at Supermax. But he's suing because we're treating him mean or something. He should be dead. That's one thing real quick, folks. When people say, oh, we shouldn't have a death penalty, life imprisonment is punishing them enough. Well, let me ask you something. If your husband or your brother or your dad worked as a correctional officer at Supermax or at the maximum security prison here in Colorado or wherever, and a killer who's on life without parole kills your loved one, there's no incentive for him not to kill again. He's got life without parole. What's another notch under his belt? He's just going to be more lauded by his prison inmate population, not to mention the biblical admonition to put killers to death. The very first thing that God told people in the Bible after the flood was, We put killers to death. It's the only commandment before the Ten Commandments. You put killers to death. Check it out. Anyway, there are other examples. There's like a dozen examples where the FBI knew of a killer. I could go on and on. I'm not going to bore you with it. What kind of time I got here? But by the way, the phone number, 888-627-6008. Would love to take a phone call. You can join by Zoom at 209-576-423. That's the room number of the Zoom call. They made a deal. You guys remember Whitey Bulger? He was the Boston area kingpin of the mob up there, the Irish Mafia, who basically got protection from the FBI and was informing on his opponents in the mob. The FBI was going out and taking his competition away. And they put Robert Mueller knowingly put four innocent men in prison for life for murders he knew they didn't commit. We ended up having to settle for millions of dollars. But this was after they were in jail for 20 years. Folks, the point I'm trying to make is not to depress you, but it's to make plans for you and your family's future, because I believe America as we know it is gone. There's one thing that could bring us back from the brink, and that would be some kind of miraculous spiritual revival. I don't see that on the horizon, but God can do what he can do. God can do anything. But I believe that our institutions, our governmental institutions, are so corrupt that there's no coming back. I believe Seth Rich was murdered. Seth Rich worked for the DNC during the Hillary Clinton campaign. He had a flash drive of Hillary's emails. That's how Wikipedia, that's how that strange guy that runs Wikipedia, I can never keep all his names straight, Manning and the other two guys. But anyway, he was murdered in front of his Washington townhome, and the police quickly said, it's a burglary gone wrong, except he had his keys, he had his wallet, his credit cards, he had cash on him, nothing was taken. Look at the Las Vegas shooting, the biggest mass murder in U.S. history. And it was off the front page within a week. They solved it just like that. They solved the Nashville bombing of the AT&T server center in a day. And yet we still don't know the real motivation of all these different killers. Do you remember the black middle-aged guy and his teenage 16 or 17-year-old accomplice, maybe 15-year-old, in the Washington, D.C. area, Maryland, and Northern Virginia, about 20 years ago? They were snipers, and one of them would be in the trunk of the car, and they would kill random people, all of them white. They did that for Islam. They did that for jihad. I'll get off my rant here. I'm going to talk a little bit about this book. The reason I like this book is, it talks about, let me just read you the subtitle. This is a blurb by Victor Davis Hanson of the book Last Stands, Why Men Fight When All Is Lost. And it's about all the great battles in history, starting with the Battle of Thermopylae. You might know it as the movie 300. There's been three iterations of that movie made. And it's the story of how 300 Spartan warriors held off tens of thousands of Persians so that they could evacuate Athens and Sparta and basically keep Greek civilization alive so that then they could come back and beat them at the Battle of Lepanto later on. But the Battle of Thermopylae was the first one in this. And then they go through all the others. There's some I didn't know about, some I knew about. The Battle of Little Bighorn with Custer's Last Stand. Of course, the Alamo. But here's what Victor Davis Hanson says on the cover. A philosophical and spiritual defense of physical courage and of masculinity and self-sacrifice in an age when those ancient virtues are too often caricatured and dismissed. Now, this is one of the few books when I read the introduction, I knew it was going to be one of the best books I've ever written. That's how good the introduction was. And the book didn't disappoint. But I'll start with, in the introduction, he says some very brave things in here. Like he says, men and women aren't different. Like, for instance, there's no record, historical record, of a band of women fighting to the death when they knew they had no chance to live. Now, there's obviously instances where women joined men, like the Battle of Stalingrad is a great example. That's in the book, where every man, woman, and person over the age of 10 that could carry a rifle or ammunition fought for the Soviets to save Mother Russia. But basically because they had political military officers who would shoot them if they didn't keep fighting. You're going to see that when China goes on the offensive with whoever they pick a fight with. They're going to have political officers who basically shoot any cowards or people who aren't attacking. We saw it in North Korea during the Korean War. That's another one. The Battle of the Chosun Reservoir. Chosun Reservoir is where the 1st Marine Division faced hundreds of thousands of Chinese that overran their position, and a few of them survived. This is not just about ones that don't survive. There's the Battle of Rorke's Drift, where a small company of British riflemen withstood, again, thousands of Zulus who didn't have rifles, but they were way outmanned, and a few of them survived. But in the book, he says, we are witnessing an attempt at profound cultural and historical change, the transformation of men into women and women into men at will and on a mere say-so. That is as audacious as it is insane. The profoundly ahistorical, anti-cultural, and unscientific assertion that something as elemental as biology can be altered on a personal whim is something unique in human history. Autonomy without God, indeed the replacement of nature, nature's God, or God himself, by mere humans who have abandoned their sense of the transcendental and substituted instead a perverse desire to abjure the evidence of their own genitalia in the pursuit of the counterfactual. That's what we're watching today with the transgender movement. And folks, there always are going to be people who have gender or sexual dysphoria. That means they're confused about who they are. And the vast majority down through history have been men who feel like they are women. Most of these people, by the time they grow out of it, they have it when they're a child or maybe when they're a teenager. But by the time they reach manhood, they realize it's kind of a bad way to live. And so they either get counseling, some get hormone treatment, but they get help. It was a mental illness until 10 minutes ago. Now we're celebrating it. Unfortunately, the great majority of the most recent category of transgender people are teenage girls who want attention and say they're boys, and they're having healthy sexual organs cut off, namely their breasts, and surgeons are doing it. Sick. Now, they won't tell you this, but people who transition, guess what their suicide rate is? It's 40 times that of a normal male. And folks, let me tell you something. Just because somebody has their penis removed and they take estrogen, they're still a man because they have an XY chromosome. And I'm not going to, I know Dennis Prager says, well, if it's a girl, if it's a man who dresses like a woman and got a woman's name and he shaves and all this, I'm going to dress him as a woman. I'm not. Truth is more important than being polite. That's one reason the church has lost the fight with the left on issues of sexuality. Because when we had a chance to say no to homosexual lifestyle, doesn't mean we're going to stone homosexuals. Doesn't mean we can't accept them into the culture of the church, the fellowship of the church. But if you practice homosexuality, that'd be like having a known burglar. You know, Mr. Smith, we know what he does. Every night he goes out and burglarizes people. He just hadn't been caught yet. Yeah, we're going to welcome him into the fellowship. No, that ain't how it works. Any sin that's not repented upon, there has to be church discipline. But when the church decided it was more important to be polite to the homosexual community, they lost the moral high ground. And that's why we are standing here today on the premises of House Resolution 5 being passed, which is going to erase and eradicate religious liberty as we know it. Check it out. House Resolution 5, H.R. 5. There's lots of stuff on the internet about it. Don't use Google. Use DuckDuckGo. Maybe Bing. Bing's not great. But use DuckDuckGo or use any other search engine. DuckDuckGo is the best. DuckDuckGo.com. You can install the app on your phone. You can make the extension on your computer so it's your default. When I go to search, DuckDuckGo comes up. They don't track my searches. They don't sell my information. And they don't fiddle with the algorithms to give me a perverted view of the news. Google does all those things. If you go Google back in 2016, if you Googled Hillary Clinton's emails, you're going to get two full pages of how she's been completely exonerated. No prosecutor in his right mind would think about prosecuting her. You wouldn't see a single negative email, link to a story about how she destroyed 33,000 emails. We don't know what happened to them. Same time, if you Google Donald Trump and Russia, all you're going to get is two full pages. And guess how many people go to a third page on a Google search? Less than 0.001%. Most people click on the first page. A very, very small percentage go to the second page. Nobody goes to the third page. Google rearranges searches when it comes to politics. So if you go to Google and you go and put in anything about transgender, you're not going to get the truth. You're going to get their version of the truth. Use DuckDuckGo. They don't track your information. They don't track your searches. They don't sell your information, and they don't mess with the results. They just give you whatever's the most popular. Okay? Last little thing on this book. The very first battle is, the first chapter is called Go Tell the Spartans. It's the Battle of Thermopylae, where the 300 faced off against, we don't know how many exactly, but at least 10,000, and many people think as many as 40,000 Persians, and they held them off for 3 days. 300 held off 20 or 30,000 Persians for three full days. And it gave the rest of Greece time to kind of evacuate and extend their civilization. And they eventually defeated the Persians and destroyed their civilization at a sea battle, I believe in the Aegean Sea. It's called the Battle of Lepanto. Pretty good battle that. But here's the money quote. Had not the 300 Spartans held the hot gates of Thermopylae for a numerologically portentous 3 days, the West might never have developed as a contentious but politically and spiritually potent counterweight to Eastern despotism, conformity, and submission. Read Islam. In other words, those 300 Spartans gave their lives so that Western civilization could essentially be born. Okay, now the book talks about why, when men are faced with certain death, they choose death. And the reason is because up until a few minutes ago, historically, honor, dignity, duty were things that non-negotiable. Men, they fought for their brothers alongside themselves. Maybe they fought for country, but usually they were fighting for their family's honor. Because the worst thing you'd be called now is a racist. Well, for most of human history, the worst thing for a man to be called was a coward. Now, we teach our boys to be cowards. We're teaching our boys to be feminine because of toxic masculinity. Not good. I know I've got a few minutes left. The phone number, 888-627-6008. I am Mark Griffith. I'm sitting in for Chuck and Julie. It's probably a way different flavor than you used to. Oh, well, we got to have a little bit difference now and then. You can reach me if you want to reach out and tell me I really suck or I'm really smart or whatever you want to tell me at mark@markgriffithshow.com. I still have a website, but I haven't kept it up. But I've got some old shows there if you want to go in and try to find some old shows. I used to have an hour a day radio show on KLZ. I feel like if I ever was able to, I know I could replace Rush Limbaugh. I know I could, but life happens. Just didn't work out that way. Let me give you the one more quote from this book. Here's what I was talking about, honor. In short, the word the ancients used was honor. In the post-World War II era, honor has become risible, an archaic insult, the taunt of the atheist and the weakling against the strong. A hero goes to his death willingly. We moderns call that man a chump, which is correct. I know what I believe, but it's not the culture we live in anymore. So teach your boys to be men. Teach your girls to be feminine. They're different. Let me see if I've got one more thing on the stack here, but I had plenty to talk about. I did have something to talk about. Here it is. Oh, the final thing I want to talk about. I didn't even refer to my notes. So let's see here. One of the things we have to worry about, by the way, cryptocurrencies, I think they're a real deal. I just started kind of dabbling in them recently. And if I do this show again, I'll tell you how I'm doing. So far, I'm doing pretty good. I told you about the King Super gas cards, how to get gas points. Folks, right now, we are looking at a situation. I found another article at Zero Hedge just today by Tyler Durden. Russia warns NATO against sending any troops to Ukraine as a frightening escalation looms. Now, all the news today has been about some guy who wanted to commit suicide by cop, and he rammed the Capitol buffers and killed the Capitol police officer, and they shot him dead. That's all they're talking about on Fox News and CNN and MSNBC. Meanwhile, half the Russian army is massing on the Ukrainian border. Did you know that? Not half, but a lot. They are literally sending a signal. We're going to invade Ukraine. And then they told us, stay out of it. You think Biden going to have the cojones to do what's necessary to push the Russians back? No way. Putin is a strong, tactical, and strategic thinker. He knows what he's doing. You think if Putin decides to invade Estonia or Lithuania or Latvia, one of the Baltics, you think we're going to risk a shooting war? No. Folks, before World War II, all during the 30s, when Hitler was building up his military, France could have taken one company of their infantry and walked into the Rhineland and said, get the hell out of here. You're violating the Treaty of Versailles. Hitler's generals all had orders when they remilitarized the Rhineland, or maybe it was the Ruhr. I can't remember. The Rhineland. It's the river. It's the industrial sector on the western part of Germany that borders France. Well, part of the Treaty of Versailles was that Germany was not to remilitarize that, because during World War I, and during the Franco-Prussian War, they had a lot of, you know, history of Germany beating the crap out of French. What else is new, right? You know why they have shade trees along the Champs de Lyon, right? It's so the Germans can march in the shade. All right, so that's my gratuitous French joke for the day. But we knew that Hitler was starting to put troops and tanks and armaments in the Rhineland. Britain, America, and France were all way stronger militarily in the mid-30s, right up until like 38, right up until the time that we gave him Czechoslovakia as part of the surrender at Munich, when Chamberlain famously came home back to London and said, we have peace in our time. And a year later, they had World War. Okay, at that, people looking back say, what were they thinking? Why didn't they stop Hitler when they could have, without the greatest war in history and 60 or 70 or 80 million people being killed? Well, you want to know why they didn't do it? For the same reason. We're not holding China to account, and we're not doing much to push back on Russia. Now, I believe Russia is a third world country with a 1.5 or second world military. I have no idea if they have a military that can even stay on the offensive for more than a few days, because their country is in debt. And when oil prices are low, they have no income. They have pretty much no industry, and they're got kleptocrats running everything, so they don't have any, you know, innovation. China, on the other hand, they're serious, folks. They have a real military. They're working hard to have a blue water navy. A blue water navy means that you can project power on all three of the world's oceans. We're the only country since World War II that could do that. The Soviet Union never developed it. Hell, they couldn't get out of the Baltic Sea with their aircraft carrier most of the time, okay? But China is going full tilt boogie. They have more ships than us right now. And whether or not those chips are technologically as advanced as we are, big deal. We're so worried about sexual rights and the identity politics that we got females piloting ships and crashing them. Look up the USS John McCain. And by the way, we should never name things after people who are still alive. It's just stupid. Anyway, the USS John McCain crashed in a, it was a destroyer, one of the most maneuverable ships on Earth, and it crashed into a big, slow-moving shipping container. I think 11 sailors' lives were lost, and here's why it happened. I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. There was a lady piloting the ship in the middle of the night. The captain was down below bunks, which is okay. You got to have somebody running the ship when the captain's sleeping. He can't be there 24/7. But the lady piloting the boat had had no contact for several hours with the lady in the maps room, the lady running the radar. Now, normally they talk 5, 6, 8, 10, or 12 times an hour, depending on how busy the sea lanes are. But they hadn't communicated in hours. And as a result, they crashed one of the most maneuverable military ships in the world into a slow-moving freighter. And you know why? Because the lady running the map room and the sonars and the radars and the lady pilot ship were in a feud over a man. Yeah, men and women are different. Men could put that apart. They could put that aside and communicate and do their jobs. That's not how women operate, folks. That's why we don't need women in the military. I'm going to say it. We do not need women in the military. Now, that ship has sailed, no pun intended. Pun intended, kind of. But folks, I'm just saying, we're in such civilizational decline, we're not a serious country anymore. But I'm telling you, China is serious. They're going to do everything they can to take over Taiwan. And I think we're probably going to let them. And it's going to be a sad day. Because guess where most of our semiconductors come from, folks? Taiwan. The good ones. The cheap ones come from China itself. So I don't have a lot of happy news for you, but when we had the chance, and we still have the chance, we're still much stronger than China. But if we don't put a brake on their audacity and their movements right now, there's going to come a time when we cross and they go past us this way and we're down here. Right now, we're close. The other thing is, I would just urge you that if you have loved ones in a blue area and that George Floyd verdict is coming up, I would urge you to get somewhere safe. It is not going to be pretty. Maybe I'll be wrong. I know I'm looking at real estate in rural areas. So we'll see what happens. There's an insane real estate bubble here in Colorado.
30 seconds.
Homes are going for 150 over asking price. It's crazy. You're getting 30, 40 offers on a house. Thanks for letting me host Chuck and Julie's show. They'll be back here Monday. They're going to be back from Atlanta, and I won't be here to bother you. Mark Griffith, contact me at mark@markgriffithshow.com. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, here at 3 o'clock. Check out the Chuck and Julie show. Thank you for letting me be in your home today.